Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to Invisible Tears. I'm Jane, host of Invisible Tears, and I'm here with my co-host, producer, editor, Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Jane. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Been hitting the gym.
Have you?
I have. Real strictly hitting the gym, like, every day.
That's awesome.
And I feel better. And yeah, I've gained so much weight. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying. I've lost 7 pounds in a week. Go me. So it's working. So
that's good. That's good.
That's encouraging me to keep going. Because you know what? I come to the conclusion that even though I'm over 50, I should not be gaining weight. I should still be taking care of myself. And I still should be, I should have a reasonable weight, mm-hmm. which will make me feel better. So that's what I've been doing.
Good for you.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good job.
We'll see how long I stick with it.
I mean, sometimes it's hard to stick with it, you know, especially if you start out like super, super like strict with yourself. But I mean, as long as you keep on coming back to it, something's better than nothing, you know?
Oh, exactly. And a really good friend of mine, she just retired from the post office. Cool. She's 73 years old. You never know it. Her name's Jeanette. And she too, because she drove to deliver mail all the time, that she had not been all that physical either, you know, with her job. So I've been going to the gym with her every day. So we've been kind of like encouraging each other and rooting each other on. So that helps. If you go to the gym, be with someone that can really encourage you. And it is a huge help to have a gym partner. I've noticed that right off the bat.
Yeah.
So that's been helping a lot, a lot.
Yeah. The buddy system's important.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do a lot of laughing. We don't know a lot about the equipment. We're learning something new every day. So we laugh and it's been fun, but it's been good too.
Good. Yep,
we're pushing each other.
Yep. Good. So that's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah. So today we are doing a cold case that is about a baby up in Northfield, Vermont.
Yeah.
So let's set the scene for this cold case. Let's take you all where it took place. Why don't you start off, Amanda?
Okay. Yeah.
Because you know this town.
I do. And so that's why, I mean, Jane, when you brought this, thank you for bringing this case to my attention too, so we could both research it and dig in a little bit more too. I was really surprised, right? So as Jane said, this is about a cold case for a baby doe, right? So the identity isn't even known about this poor little baby. And it took place in Northfield, Vermont. So for those of you that aren't familiar, Northfield, Vermont's a small town up in Washington County. It's nestled right in the valley of the Green Mountains. The population in Northfield since 1982 to present day has ranged anywhere from about 3,000 to 6,000 people. The town's located off of Interstate 89, just south of Montpelier, Vermont, which is the state's capital. The town's known for Norwich University, which is an undergraduate senior military college. Another reason why the population range is a little bit right there. That college moved to Norwich and established there in 1866. So it's been there forever, too. And the motto for this small Vermont country town is where the good life begins. So it's not surprising that the entire town and the police were shocked when this discovery was made.
On Thursday morning, April 1st, 1982, the body of a Caucasian newborn baby boy was found dead at around 7 a.m. along the side of the Mill Hill Road in Northfield, Vermont. He was wrapped in a brown bath towel inside a sealed plastic garbage bag. Just saying that just makes me cringe. Evidence indicated the baby boy had been carried full term and born alive. He was discovered by four children waiting at the bus stop. Apparently, they discovered the baby by catching up to the nearby neighbor's dog that was dragging the bag. It's theorized by the investigators that the baby boy was thrown over an embankment on that road. An autopsy determined the baby boy was born alive, was full term, and biologically normal. The umbilical cord was found attached to the infant and not tied, suggesting a home birth, and that he was born possibly only hours before being discarded. The investigation revealed that suffocation and or possibly exposure to the elements likely killed this infant.
It's just such a heartbreaking description right there. It really is. The baby's parents are unknown. The baby boy was never claimed, and the case remains unsolved. A funeral service for the infant was actually held in late April of 1982 at St. Mary's Church in Northfield, Vermont. Reverend Frank Wisner III performed and paid for the services and actually named the child Matthew Isaac. He was named Matthew because Matthew means gift of God, and Isaac was the son taken to be sacrificed by Abraham. Approximately 80 people were in attendance at this funeral. Among those attending were representatives of the Vermont State Police who were trying to find the infant's parents. It's believed they hoped the parents would be found by attending these services. They weren't. When Reverend Wisner was asked why he arranged the services and named the unknown baby boy, he simply stated, "It was just something that I needed to do." He was buried after the service and does have a headstone that simply states Matthew Isaac and the date which he was found dead, April 1st, 1982. With very, very little leads, the case went cold. Investigators were actually really surprised at the lack of information that they received from the public.
I am too. Being such a small community, somebody had to know somebody that was pregnant unless they came into town.
Yeah, that's what the investigators actually ended up saying too. And the state police, they were like, somebody had to have known someone who was pregnant and then not. Like, why aren't people coming forward with more information? And when people didn't, that's when they kind of made the assumption, well, maybe they weren't necessarily from around this community. I mean, Northfield is a super small community too. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
In July of 2020, Detectives with the Vermont State Police Cold Case Unit started working towards a break in the case that could lead to the baby's identity and or the identity of the parents by partnering with the Virginia-based genetic genealogy testing company called Peridon Nanolabs. This testing cost roughly $5,000. Peridon Nanolabs launched a justice drive for baby Doe, and the goal of $5,300 was reached. Mm-hmm. It's unknown where the lab is with the work or when the goal was reached for the justice drive. One can only hope that the identity of the little boy will be known soon. Yeah. This case just absolutely breaks my heart. Thank you to everyone that donated to the Justice Drive and to the Cold Case State Police Unit in Vermont for partnering with Peridon Nanolabs in an attempt to use genetic genealogy profiles to find this little boy's identity.
Yeah.
So we haven't heard any updates yet. This was 2022 when... Mm-hmm. 2022 when they did the drive, so we mm-hmm. don't know when they did the DNA testing or anything like that.
Right. I don't know how long, like when the goal was reached, right, for what they had to raise in order to be able to make the profiles. It's interesting because just shortly ago, something was thrown out there on Facebook from Vermont State Police about this mm-hmm. case, and that's when we really started digging into this, pulled up the Justice Drive, pulled up information about Peridon Nanolabs, and really tried to dig in and get more information. We don't know where they are with making this profile. We can only hope that they're going to be able to try and figure out this baby's identity. And then, of course, the identity of the parents, too. It's just so,
yeah, man,
so
it was so random. Them yeah. throwing that right up on social media.
Yeah.
Because it really didn't add any information. I'm glad they did put it up because I've never heard about this.
I haven't either.
Ever.
Yep.
And so when I noticed it on social media, I started looking at it and doing a little bit of research. I'm like, oh my God. How did I, you know, never hear about this?
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad it hasn't been forgotten.
Yep, me too.
I'm glad that they're still, you know, looking into this. Mm-hmm. It seems to be still an open case.
Yeah.
Even though it's a cold case, it's an active case.
Right.
They're still looking for information. Mm-hmm. And they're running the DNA, which is phenomenal. Like,
yep.
I'm so glad that they have the DNA,
right?
Because this was in 1982, DNA didn't exist,
right?
So I'm so glad that they were able to, you know, obviously they must have took blood work or something from the baby, mm-hmm.
yep,
and were able to, you know, preserve it,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully they were able to preserve a good amount and we're able to preserve it right.
Yeah.
So that they can get some DNA profile on it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, heartbreaking.
Absolutely heartbreaking. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And now back to our episode. Yeah, I was so surprised. I was so surprised that I hadn't heard of this either, because I have family in Northfield, Vermont. I've previously told and divulged to all of our audience, you know, I was literally born 45 minutes away from Northfield, Vermont. So I had Literally every Christmas I would spend at my great aunt's house when I was little. So I have family there. I'm directly from that area, and I had never heard of this. And it just, especially once you start getting into it and reading the details, just absolutely broke my freaking heart. So heartbreaking.
Do you still have family up there?
I do. Not directly in Northfield, unfortunately. The family that I had that I have previously had in Northfield, they've passed away. But I do still have family in Barrie, and around the Montpelier area, in Jericho, St. Albans, even further north, and stuff like that too. I have a huge family, so I have lots of aunts, uncles, cousins, and that sort of thing, all up in northern Vermont.
I was just curious if they remember this, or
right,
if they heard a lot of talk about this. I mean, 80 people from that town showed up for the services, so it
yeah.
was, I think that was a pretty large crowd.
Yeah.
Being a small town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can ask my family if they remember anything about this. I mean, just to put it into perspective. So April 1st, 82, I was a year and a half old. So
whatever.
I'm trying to actually do the math in my head. I'm like, I was pretty young. I was still a baby, but we lived in Barrie at that time. So we didn't live all that far away. So sad.
It is. I can't even really put into words how I feel right now about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, in one way, it's so sad, but in another, I feel so angry about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, being such a small community, especially in the 80s, like even the surrounding communities are even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s, early 80s, you would think someone would have come forward, like we were talking about earlier.
Right.
So I'm thinking that they are like definitely not from the
within.
Area.
Yeah.
Now, how close is Northfield, Vermont to like New York border?
Pretty close. But I mean, it's decently close, even though Northfield, Vermont, it's almost like essentially like right in the middle of the state, like off of 89. You could probably get to the New York border within an hour or less.
No.
Yeah. So
and
Vermont's
Maine?
A pretty thin.
No, it,
thin state.
No, it wouldn't be close to Maine. It would be close to
New Hampshire. Yep. Yep.
Okay. And 89. All right. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So if you think about the major interstates too that run throughout Vermont, so you have 89, which just essentially, you know, 89 essentially almost runs like this. If you're watching the YouTube, you can see my you can see my hand. It essentially runs like almost like diagonal. It runs up through like Burlington, and then it actually like intersects in White River Junction, and then ends up going over into New Hampshire. 91 is the one that runs essentially all the way up Vermont that we're really familiar with, right? Because we can hook onto 91 to go north or south pretty close, fairly close to where we live. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think just my gut with knowing that community and what that community is like too, I really think, especially because nobody had any sort of information that was helpful, that it probably was somebody from outside community.
Even the law enforcement was surprised at mm-hmm. the lack of tips that came in.
Yep.
Which, yeah, I am too. Very, very surprised at the lack of tips.
Mm-hmm.
And skiing, mm-hmm. I mean, up there is a lot of ski resorts.
Yep.
They do a lot of skiing. Now, mm-hmm. April, are they still skiing up there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I think that would be like the end of their season.
Right.
Would be
winding
April.
Down. Mm-hmm.
Winding down, yeah.
Yep, the season's
so
definitely winding down.
Wouldn't even really be a whole lot of tourists up there either.
Right.
At that time.
Yeah.
They'd be just finishing up, closing up all the resorts.
Yeah.
Workers would be going back, back home, because they got a lot of workers at the resorts from out of town and out of state. So they'd be going back to their hometowns.
Even from out of country too. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, that's true.
They have some programs.
That's true.
People don't know that.
But workers would have known.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. It's weird that there's like nobody's come forward. And
I know.
The lack of tips just blows my mind.
Me too.
But hopefully, you know, who knows? Maybe with this coming out with the DNA and all that, that, you know, people will come forward, or they actually have a breakthrough with the DNA. I hope so.
Yeah.
We'll have to keep watch out for updates.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure if they find DNA and they figure out who it is, and, and are able to solve this, whether the parents are still, you know, alive or not, or in the area, I'm sure they'll blast that all over media.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way that they just randomly put this up on social media was really weird. So hopefully they'll blast it all over the place if something comes up about it. But I'm glad we were able to do this.
Me too.
You're going to post the resources that you got off of this. Thank you, Amanda. You did an amazing job with researching this. I researched zero of this. I did a little bit of reading. Amanda put this together. She did a great job as always. Thank you. So with that, it's please remember, this is a cold case. We'll have the Vermont cold case, Vermont State Police cold case number up.
Yep.
And I'll contact information, email, and all that. So if you know anything, come forward, say something.
Yep.
You know, maybe it's a secret you've kept all these years and decided, you know what, I want to come forward with this.
Yeah.
It's time to come forward and give this little baby boy some identity.
Yeah.
Imagine if you didn't have an identity. You know, and this poor little angel is passed away, and there is no identity. Imagine, you know, do the right thing. Yeah. Come forward. Come forward. All right. With that, don't forget, follow us on Invisible Tears. Subscribe and have a good one.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Invisible Tears. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast to hear all future episodes. Click into our link tree too in the episode description to find and follow us on all our social medias. And it also links to our website, invisible-tears.com, where you can keep current on any events that may be coming up, read more about Jane and the team, and read more about all the Connecticut River Valley unsolved cases. Evil may exist in this world, but we will not let it win. See you next episode.